I would be perfectly fine with that. Amen. I'm going to finish up tonight on my series on the Holy Spirit. And I want to preach on a powerful witness. And I've mentioned many times as we've gone through this that there is a lot of different ideas about the Holy Spirit, why he was given, people saying, hey, listen, you know, this is a three-quarters filled cup, but they say, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you've only got half a cup. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? Oh, yeah, you're just half full of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit was not given to give people the ability to speak in tongues. We've looked at many reasons the Holy Spirit was given. We've looked at the Holy Spirit himself. We've looked at some of the ministries that he's come to do. But we're going to look at, I believe, this evening, probably, I would say, the main reason that the Holy Spirit was given to man. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Why do we have the Holy Spirit? And I know we've looked at this verse already, and we're going to look at some other verses we've looked at before. We're going to look at them a little differently tonight, though, Lord willing. Let me ask you this question. Have you personally been filled with the Holy Spirit, or are you even today filled with the Spirit? Because as I mentioned, as we've looked at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, this is not a suggestion. This is not something that's optional for a Christian. God here told the believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. It's the controlling agent, as I mentioned. God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill us, to control us, to allow the Spirit to have access to every little nook and cranny of our lives, to dictate and determine our actions. And again here, I mentioned before Acts chapter 19, and there in that particular portion of Scripture, Paul was going along, and he ran into some people from Ephesus, and he asked them, listen, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Spirit since you've been born again, since you've been saved? And these individuals said, you know, we didn't even know there was anything such as the Holy Spirit. We don't know what you're talking about. And the Bible there goes on to talk about how maybe Paul realized that these individuals maybe had a false profession of faith. They trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and when they were baptized, the Bible says there that they were given power, or they were filled with the Spirit of God. They didn't understand what it meant to be filled with the Spirit of God. They only knew the old man. They only knew the old nature. They had never experienced the power of God. You know, when I talk to people about their salvation, are you saved? And people will say, well, yeah, I think so. I was saved when I was 6. I was saved when I was 12. I was saved when I was 15. Have you been filled with the Spirit? I don't know. Were you filled with the Spirit when you were saved? Well, I don't know. I think we should know. Amen. I think we should know when we're filled with the Spirit of God. I go by personal experience and lining up my salvation experience with what I read in the Bible. When people were saved in the Bible, something happened that was supernatural. Something happened that was over and above anything that we know in human terms. These individuals at Ephesus were filled with the Spirit of God. They had no knowledge. They had no experiences of being filled with the Spirit and understanding the power of the Spirit of God. And this evening, Lord willing, I want to talk about that idea of empowerment, that God has given the Spirit of God to Christians to give us power. Because without the power of God, we won't make it. Without being filled with the Holy Spirit, we will not have that power. And we must ask this question, why was this power given to us? Why were we given power? You know, we don't have superhero powers. You know, we don't have the abilities to do extraordinary superhuman things other than to be able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, was given to us to empower us to be able to witness and to share the gospel. It didn't take me long talking about personal experience. It didn't take me long after I was saved to realize that, you know, I sold Filter Queens. Who knows what I'm talking about? Did anybody else sell Filter Queens? Nobody wants to admit it. Kirby's. Yeah, I sold Filter Queens for 3 weeks. And I said, that's enough of this. And, you know, we go into people's houses and demonstrate these Filter Queens and do all that we could to make people feel filthy. That's why we went into their house. You're filthy and you need this. So you're not filthy. And you know, you go in there and I don't want to say I was a pushy salesman or anything like that, but I don't remember anybody getting mad at me. I don't remember anybody throwing me out of the house, yelling at me. You know, I could tell some of them didn't like the fact that I was there. But it didn't take me long after I was saved when I started going to people's houses and, you know, I don't want to use the term selling them the gospel, but it's free, amen? Trying to share the gospel with them. And again, there was something that was very different than trying to sell somebody a vacuum cleaner. People were getting angry and people were getting mad. And it was so evident in my situations particular instances where I was witnessing to people, it became so obvious that there was something supernatural going on. There was a power. There was a battle raging that wasn't raging when I was trying to sell Filter Queens or any other salesman that tries to sell you life insurance or tries to sell you this or trying to. There was something very, very, very different about witnessing. And by the way, those experiences haven't changed. It's still the same today. People get angry. People, you see the battle. Not physically seeing it, but you can see it. That there's something else going on behind the scenes that we can't see. We can't understand that physical battle. Therefore, or spiritual battle, sorry. We need, when we go into a situation where we're witnessing to somebody and we're sharing the gospel with somebody, we're not going to win that battle by our wits. We're not going to win the battle by being a good salesman, knowing what to say at the right time and when to drop the net and all these other things. We are going to win that battle only through power and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad that someone took a Bible and showed you how to be saved? Or somebody cared about you and came to your door? Maybe it was a televangelist or, you know, back in the old days when they actually preached the gospel. Maybe it was a gospel tract somebody left or whatever it may be. But you're glad you're saved, and I'm glad that the gospel has persevered since the time of Christ. But the only reason why you're saved and the only reason why we have the gospel today is because the power of the Holy Spirit enabled people to be able to preach the gospel. And as I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit is the one that illuminates the individual to the need of salvation, to the wonderful, glorious truths contained in the gospel. It's the power of God. And the only reason that the gospel is going to perpetuate into the next generation and into the next generation is through Spirit-filled Christians who are willing to fight through that battle and using the power that God has given us to win those battles in witnessing and sharing the gospel with people. I mentioned someone this morning. We got a phone call from the church phone. Some lady called up, and she was very, very cordial, very well-spoken lady, but she was upset, you know, because she went into Shoppers Drug Mart, and they had in there, they had a book on witchcraft, a beginner's course in witchcraft. And she said, how in the world, or why in the world, is Shoppers Drug Mart selling a book on witchcraft? And so she was calling all the churches, trying to get everyone to call them up and put pressure on them to pull this book off the shelves. And, you know, I was thinking in my mind when I heard that, what are the chances of Shoppers Drug Mart carrying A.W. Tozer's book, you know, on the power of God? Or Spurgeon's book on lectures to my students, or anyone else's good Christian book. You know, we certainly have an enemy out there that doesn't want the gospel perpetuated, and that is why we need the power of God. That is why we need the power of God, and we find the effectual workings of the Spirit in the lives of the apostles. You know, we look at all of the wonderful things that happened at Pentecost. And then later on, others, thousands were saved. But it wasn't until they received the power. Peter, what a great soul winner he was during the trials of the Lord Jesus Christ, out there warming himself by the fire. You know, what an opportunity to witness to the people there. And we know the rest of the story. A powerless Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ask, how did that same man get up there at Pentecost, people thinking he was drunk, and people thinking this, and people thinking that? What made him a powerful preacher? A powerful soul winner? It was the Spirit of God. And God has promised to fill each and every individual who will allow the Spirit of God to fill us, who will allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives and to give us that power. G. Campbell Morgan was a young man. He visited two elderly ladies each week to read the Bible to them. And when he read Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, where the Bible says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," he said, "Isn't that a wonderful promise?" One of the old ladies there quickly responded and said, "Young man, that is not a promise." And G. Campbell, he looked a little confused. "So what do you mean?" She says, "It's not a promise." She said, "It's a fact." You see, the Holy Spirit is a fact. And the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is with us and has given us that power is a fact. Before we get into the message, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And again, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who's given us the ability and the power to be witnesses. And we find in the Scripture people being filled with the Spirit of God, becoming bold witnesses. And as we look at some of these tonight, may the Holy Spirit of God give us the power and boldness to be witnesses for you. So help us, guide us, and direct us. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. So, normal New Testament Christians, if you will, were filled with the Spirit of God. And again, asking the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? If it was right for Paul to ask, then maybe I should ask as well, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Christians have been filled with the Holy Spirit since early times, Elizabeth and his wife, Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, who was to be the mother of John the Baptist, was filled with the Spirit and witnessed for Christ. After John was born, the father Zacharias was also filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus, before he began his ministry, came to be baptized of John in the Jordan River and was baptized and praying. The heavens were open and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, came upon him in the power of a dove, and he began his ministry. You know, he had never before preached a sermon, never worked a miracle, never won anyone to himself. He lived a perfect, sinless life, but now he was filled with the Spirit. We find that, again, before that time in Pentecost, the disciples were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endowed with power from on high. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, turn in your Bibles to Acts. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1. And Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read three verses here. And the Bible says, in verse 4, we'll read 4, 5, and 8. The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And what are they going to do? Speak in tongues? Do miracles? Slay people in the Spirit? Do all kinds of stuff? Play with rattlesnakes? No, it says they're going to be witnesses. They're going to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. The Spirit of God was what enabled the power of the preaching at Pentecost and the early spread of the gospel in the church. When we think of these things, the Bible talks about this great ministry of salvation and, you know, the Holy Spirit, that person that indwells every believer, is the same, that power is the same power that we can have today. All of those people that were saved, all of those preachers that were there the day of Pentecost, we have that same power today. We have the same power. And I praise God that we've been given that power. They were wondering what was going on. They realized something wasn't right with these guys. They thought maybe they had been drinking something they shouldn't have been. And praise God, they were simply going about the work of God. And this endowment or endowment of the power, it was given for soul winning. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I want you to listen to these words carefully. What does the fullness or the filling of the Spirit mean? What does it mean to be endowed with power from on high? And here, Jesus gives us a little bit of an insight onto that. The Bible says in verse 46 of Luke 24, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And look at this, "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high." So he tells them that the reason for the filling of the Holy Spirit is so that they would be able to be witnesses into the uttermost parts of the earth, as we see in Acts chapter 1. everywhere, but he says, go to Jerusalem and wait there until you receive that power. Because listen, if you're going to go out and you're going to try to witness without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get very far. You've got to wait for the power. You've got to wait for that power that I promised you. The Bible, as I mentioned, says there that we will be witnesses in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And Christians, every single Christian ought to have power, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm afraid to witness sometimes. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to witness. And I'm not going to tell you that, you know, just because I'm a pastor, it's easy to go and get people mad. Or it's easy just to witness to everyone you see. I have never met a pastor. I've never met a soul winner. I've never met anyone that's ever said, you know what, soul winning is easy. Talking to somebody, I don't know what to say. What will I say? What if they try to argue with me? Well, don't argue with them. Just give them the gospel. Just tell them the truth of the Word of God. You've got all of the answers you need in the book. Amen? And God wants us to share the gospel. God wants us to be powerful witnesses for Him. And you know, I believe so many Christians are wasting the power of God. We're not using it to its full potential. We're not filled with the Spirit the way God wants us to be filled. D.L. Moody said something very wise, many things very wise, but he said, as I mentioned, the disciples not waiting for that power would have been foolish. They needed that power in order to be able to do what they did, to turn the world upside down, as the Bible says. D.L. Moody said, it's foolish to try to do God's work without God's power. And I think that's why so many of us fail in witnessing, because we're trying to do God's work without God's power. We've forgotten to be filled with the Spirit. We've forgotten to let the Spirit of God have His way in our lives. And without that filling each and every day, we'll never be what we're going to be. You know, there's a lot of different words there in the Bible, you know, about being endowed with the power from on high. It doesn't matter. A rose by any other name is still a rose. Amen? And we find this same idea over and over and over again being used in various forms, receiving the Holy Spirit and being endowed with power, receiving the Spirit of God, the power of God. Again, baptism, the baptism of fire, and all these different things. You know, It's a picture of the Christian when he's put into the body of Christ, that the body, that body that will be called out in the rapture, that's, if you will, be a baptized body, a called out body. Because the word baptism, when we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that idea there is overwhelmed to be covered or completely surrounded by. So when we look at being endowed with power, when we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, another biblical term for the same idea there, to be baptized with the Spirit is to be completely overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what God wants for us. The purpose is simply soul-winning power. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. John the Baptist. The Bible says there, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. What will happen? He will get many people saved, the Bible says. And at Pentecost, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Scripture tells us, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Could you imagine 3,000 people getting saved? Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. There was another man in the Bible by the name of Saul. He was a church persecutor. He was on his way to Damascus when he met Jesus. Paul fell in his face. He was overwhelmed there by the power of God when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fell to his knees and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do?" Paul was saved. He accepted the fact that Christ was who he said he was. And he was given orders to go and meet a man by the name of Ananias by Damascus. And Ananias was the man he wanted him to see. Where is he? Where is this man? Paul was blind. He's on a street called Straight at the house of Judas. Go over there and talk to this fellow, Paul. Go see him. Paul was going to go, but Ananias was a bit afraid. He said, "Listen, man, this is the guy that persecuted the church. This is some kind of trick. You know, it's not uncommon for the enemy to pretend they've converted to come over and infiltrate. You know, this has got to be some sort of trick. I'm a little bit afraid of this guy," and rightfully so. The Christians were afraid. But listen, Paul's been converted. Paul's been changed. And so they met. Ananias went over and found Saul already saved. And, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive sight," and listen to this, "and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So Paul received the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." The Spirit-filled Paul was witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Barnabas, another example of Spirit fullness in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. "For he was a good man," and the Bible says, "and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." That's what it's for. The Holy Spirit of God was given so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. That power of God. We need the power of God. We can't do it without the power of God. A young man enlisted and was sent to his regiment the first night that he was in the barracks with about 15 other young men who passed the time playing cards and gambling before retiring. He fell on his knees and prayed, and they began to curse him and jeer at him and throw boots at him. So it went on the next night and the next night and the next night. And finally, the young man went, told the chaplain what had taken place, and he asked what he should do. "Well," said the chaplain, "you're not at home now. And the other men have just as much right to the barracks as you have. It makes them mad to hear you pray. And the Lord will hear you just as well if you say your prayers in bed and don't provoke them." For weeks after, the chaplain did not see the young man again. But one day he met him and asked, "By the way, did you take my advice?" The young man said, "I did, for 2 nights." "How did it work?" "Well," said the young man, I felt like a whipped hound. And the third night, I got out of my bed, knelt down, and prayed." "Well," asked the chaplain, "how did that work?" The young soldier answered, "We have a prayer meeting now there every night. And 3 have been converted, and we're praying for the rest." We can't be afraid of what others are going to think. We can't be worried about maybe I'll lose a few friends if I begin to witness Christ to them. We simply need to understand the power of God, the power that He's given us to be witnesses for Him. And God desires all of us to be witnesses. You know, He didn't just fill the preacher. He didn't just fill the Sunday school teacher. He didn't just fill the deacon or the soul winner. He's filled all of us. He's given all of us the same measure. He's given us all the same measure. And we can all be witnesses. We can all have the power of God to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, but the only way we will be successful if we know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And my prayer is tonight that each and every one of us know, have you been filled with the Spirit of God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are again grateful for the filling of the Spirit. And that filling was power, the strength, the courage, and the ability to be able to witness. And I do believe the Holy Spirit of God will give us the things that we need to say, will bring to mind the verses that we need. He's given us every tool to be able to defeat the enemy, and truly that is what we're doing. When we witness to people, we are defeating the enemy. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would just continue in our hearts and in our lives to be filled, to overwhelm us, to be totally under His influence. So we thank You for the Spirit, that sweet, sweet Spirit. And as we go from here, may we go in the power that God has given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Let's stand together as we sing.